ॐ सहनावतु सहनौघुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै prescribed to be a daily duty or regular duty for everybody. So there should be austerity in life. You say, tapas or austerity involves self-restraint and deliberate self-restraint. A deliberate self-denial. That I deny myself food. I deny myself the comfort. And I inflict upon myself strain with a view to bring about a greater self-control, a greater willpower, as well as purification of the mind. So tapas, such as fasting, such as pilgrimage. And there are many kinds of tapas that people perform, where there is a self-infliction, there is a control over one's senses, control over one's mind. Therefore, tapas is where every tradition prescribes tapas or austerity in one form or the other. So people take many kinds of vows, called vrata, fasting on certain days, pilgrimage in a certain way, reciting God's name for so many times, and variety of penances are there. Lord Krishna says that this tapas or penance is performed at three levels, at the level of body, at the level of speech, at the level of mind. We discuss the tapas or penance at the level of body. Now today, in the verse number 8 on the page 12, Lord Krishna talks about the austerity at the level of speech. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayate Svadhyayabhyasanam chaiva Vamayam tapa uchyate. The austerity and the level of speech. Vamayam tapa, where the speech is predominant. So when we do something at the level of speech, the mind is definitely involved, but the role of speech is predominant there, where it is called the austerity of speech. Austere speech is controlling the words. It is not refraining from speaking, which is called maunam or silence, that also is an austerity. I think more difficult austerity is speaking what is right is perhaps a greater austerity than even not speaking. So Lord Krishna here gives us some guidance or instruction as to what we should be watching out while communicating through speech. So first condition that we should observe, Lord Krishna says, is there an echo, something is there? Anudvega karam vakyam. Vakyam means the sentence, the speech, yeah, the words. Anudvega karam vakyam. Udvega means a mental pain. Udvega karam, that causes, that perturbs somebody, that causes mental pain. Anudvega karam vakyam. So one qualification or one characteristic of what we speak should be that our words should not cause pain or disturbance in the mind of the other person. So this is very important. Before I utter the words, I should ask myself whether will these words cause pain to this person? Will it bring about disturbance in his or her mind? If that is so, then I should refrain from speaking. So very often we are not careful, and we knowingly or unknowingly hurt the feelings of others by the words that we use. And therefore Lord Krishna says that you use the words such that they do not hurt the feeling of the one who is listening to you or anybody who is listening to you. Second qualification, Lord Krishna says, is Satyam. Vakyam Satyam means it should be truthful. So whatever you say must be truthful. Now, make note of one thing. It does not say that you have to speak truth. But it says that we choose to speak, then it should be truthful. Just because it's truth, it does not mean that you are obliged to speak. Some people pride themselves in saying that I always say things as they are. I start, call a spade a spade. I don't care what people think about me, but that's not right. Yes. And if we choose to speak, then what we speak must be truthful, no question about it. But at the same time, we should know that we are not obliged to speak. If my words, even though truthful, may hurt the feelings of the other person, then I have freedom not to speak. But if I do speak, it should be truthful. Priyam, Lord Krishna says that even the truth also spoken must be spoken in a pleasant manner. What is Priyam? Something which is pleasant to hear. So our words should be generally pleasant to hear. It should cause pleasure to the one who listens to our words, Priyam. But Swamiji's truth is always bitter. Then you need not speak. I have to tell him. If you have to tell him, then you think of a way such that what you say is sweet and not bitter. The truth, it will require us perhaps to be somewhat innovative in the way we express ourselves. But we have a commitment that our words should not hurt the feelings of others. If we are sensitive to the feelings of others, we respect the feeling of others. Very often, we do not even respect their feeling. I don't care what they feel. No, that is not the right attitude. Whoever it is, we should respect them. And but Swamiji, if I were in that position, I would not feel like that. You may not feel like that. But this person feels in a certain way. That being the case, you have to respect. And your word should be not only not hurting, but should be as best as possible, pleasant to listen to. Priyam. Hitam. What you say should be beneficial. So Priyam means it is pleasant at the time it is spoken. And hita means beneficial. In long run, it should be beneficial to the one to whom it is said. Meaning that there is no need for you to say something even if it is truthful, if it is not beneficial, if it doesn't serve a purpose. So, these are the kind of things that we have to keep in mind before we even utter the words. What I'm going to say, is it truthful? No, I will not speak. Is it pleasant? No, I will not speak. Beneficial? No, I will not speak. Maybe 90% of what we say will have no meaning. A lot of things we just say which is meaningless. We talk a lot, which is very odd, just for the sake of talking. Time passing, socializing. It is alright. But for a spiritual seeker, it is not alright. Says Shankaracharya, one place, Natavrutha Vakyam Samacharyata. You should not utter a word also which is of not use. Vritha, useless word you should not speak. And a lot of misunderstanding gets created when we are not careful in what we say. In fact, it has been recorded that even some battles of wars have taken place because of the words. And I'm sure many of you know this. It is said that even the battle of Mahabharata also had its root in the words which are spoken by Draupadi when Yudhishthira performed Rajasu Yajna. Yudhishthira's capital was Indraprastha. Duryodhana's capital was Hastinapura, because the kingdom was divided. Until they started playing this game of dice and they lost everything until then. So then, Yudhishthira organized a big homa called Rajasu Yajna. For that, this architect of the Asuras called Mayadhanava, he had created a wonderful palace and wonderful facilities. Because so many kings and so many dignitaries and so many people were invited to this festival, the ceremony. Duryodhana also was invited. This palace was made in such a manner, the floor was so shiny that sometimes what was solid floor appeared like it was water. And the pools of water were so calm that sometimes they looked like solid stone. And Duryodhana missed out. When he was walking on the solid floor, he thought that his water would lift his clothes so that it would not get wet. And when it came to water, he thought that the solid floor, so he just walked on that and naturally fell in water. So Pandavas and Draupadi, they were all watching this, and Draupadi made fun of him in the presence of other many people. Says, "We know whose son you are." Duryodhana's father was blind, meaning Duryodhana was taunted that, "Can't you see where you are walking?" And Duryodhana felt highly insulted. And naturally a person like that would want to take revenge, and that is where in his mind the revenge thing came. That is the reason why when Pandavas lost everything in the game of dice, including Draupadi also was lost. And by the command of Duryodhana, Dushyasana went and brought Duryodhana. He pulled her with the hair and brought her to the court. This was deliberately done. Take revenge for the insult that Draupadi had done to, no? And then Bhimsena was hurt by that, and he took some, that is how the battle started. But anyway, what the words can do. So words are a great wealth that we have. Never, we should not waste them. At the same time, we should properly use them. Now, what we should not say is stated, what we should say. Second line says, Svadhyaya Misanam Seva. Svadhyaya means one's own branch of Veda, or the scripture, Abhyasanam, repeating the Vedas, or repeating the name of Lord, repeating the Stotra, repeating some text, holy text, that also is part of the penance of the speech. So, this is the Vangmayam Tava austerity of speech. In the next verse, Lord Krishna talks about the austerity of the mind. Manah prasada saumyatvam maunamatma vinigraha. भावसं शुद्धिरित्येतत् तपो मानसमुच्यते मनःप्रसादः. सी द ट्रांसलेशन. ट्रैंक्विलिटी ऑफ द माइंड to bring about tranquility of the mind, the cheerfulness of the mind is the penance of the level of mind. Austerity, the level, meaning that we have constantly strive to maintain the cheerfulness or the clarity or purity of the mind. A simple explanation would be a constant attempt. When is the mind cheerful? When is the mind tranquil? When the mind is sattvic. Sattva means tranquility, clarity, purity. When the mind is contaminated by rajas and tamas, raga and dvesha, that is when the mind loses its tranquility, loses cheerfulness. Meaning that when there is raga, attachment in the mind, dvesha, aversion in the mind, at that time the mind feels agitated. So one of the important things to be done constantly by us is bring about the tranquility of mind, meaning that as this raga and dvesha, attachment and aversion, as they arise in the mind, or as any negative feeling or impulse arises, such as anger, such as greed, such as a strong desire to indulge, attachment, aversion, jealousy, even frustration, self-non-acceptance, self-dissatisfaction, self-rejection, all of these make the mind perturbed. So this is where comes the usefulness of being alert or vigilant. That we are aware of the thoughts arising in the mind. And when we find that a thought such as anger, such as jealousy, such as greed, such as temptation, indulgence, self-dislike, self-condemnation, when any of these thoughts arises, we know that the mind becomes agitated, disturbed, we lose the peace of mind. And therefore, we should be constantly seeking to neutralize these thoughts. Just as you neutralize acid by adding alkali into that. Similarly also, these negative thoughts are neutralized by deliberately replacing them with the positive thoughts, the opposite thoughts. This process of deliberately replacing negative thoughts by positive thought is called pratipakshabhava. Still something is not right. Pratipakshabhava. Bhana means attitude. Paksha means position. Prati means opposite or contrary. Meaning that we should deliberately take the contrary position. For example, anger arises in my mind. Anger arises because of a certain position. Is that I guess, yeah. Then raise this volume a little bit. Make this one a little louder. So anger arises because no, I also said. You did it. No, then.
Increase or decrease?
Increase. anger arises because of intolerance. Or it arises because somebody perhaps did something which was hurtful to me. The opposite, the contrary feeling is deliberately bringing into my mind the attitude of compassion to that person. Forgiveness or compassion. Here I can tell you a short story which I have told you in the past. About this letters the. Or in English, C. We identify these three kinds of impulses, primary impulses. Kama, Krodha, Lobha. Kama means a tendency to indulge. When I cannot control myself while enjoying or experiencing pleasure, I cannot control, and therefore tendency to indulge. It's called Kama. Krodha is anger, because I cannot tolerate something or somebody. And Lobha is a greed, because I feel very dissatisfied within myself, discontented, I want more and more and more. So the Pratipaksha Bhavana for these three is the. In Sanskrit, Damaha Daya Danam. Dama is self-restraint. So when there arises in me a tendency to indulge, which I know is damaging to me ultimately, this karma or the tendency to indulge can be neutralized by the attitude of self-restraint or self-control. So when they serve me some sweet, for example, Rasagulla, one or two is reasonable. But I want a third one, a fourth one, my mind wants a fifth one. I know that it is damaging to my health. And particularly if I am suffering diabetes, it's poison. So there, when I realize that, one or two is my limit. So I must set the limit beforehand, understand? That before I begin my meal, I set my boundary that I'm going to eat this number one or two chapatis, whatever my limit is. I should set limits. And things I like in particular, then I must set the limits. Samosa, I'll take one or something like that. Bhajiya, whatever. Two. Rasagulla, one. These limits I set beforehand. And then when it comes to eating that samosa, when one means that's the end of it. My mind says, I want to have a second one. No. Rasagulla, want a second? No. And thus, I just restrain my mind and keep it in boundary. So drawing the boundaries and restraining the mind is a way, it's called dhamma, self-restraint. Is a way to overcome this impulse of karma or the impulse of indulgence. Second is krodha. There also is the. That means daya. When you get angry at somebody, you repeat daya. Daya means mercy, kindness, compassion, repeat. Meaning that I try to replace that thought of anger by I neutralize it by deliberately bringing about the thought of compassion for that person. So how can you have compassion for this person? Look at what the person has done. If we respond to the outer behavior of that person, of course there will be anger. But if I look at the person behind the behavior, I realize that here is a person who is a helpless person. Meaning that even that person's bad behavior is out of helplessness. I can bring about daya or mercy or compassion for that person. And lobha. I just want more, so greed. I cannot part with what I have. Greed means I have plenty, but I cannot part with it. Then dhanam or charity. The. Dama, daya, dhanam. Or see. Control, compassion, charity. Charity we'll talk about in the next verse itself. But this way, and most important I think thing, the worst thing that is there is self-non-acceptance. We are critical of our own self. And more often than not, I look down upon myself. More often than not, I find that I am not acceptable to my own self. I am not able to live up to my own expectation of myself. And thus, very often there is self-rejection, self-dissatisfaction, self-rejection. When I make an effort and I am not successful, I blame myself, I'm a failure, and then I feel depressed, or I feel very bad about myself. When somebody humiliates me, insults me, then also I blame myself, I'm like that, I deserve that. This is low self-esteem. This is also a big problem that we have, and that also disturbs the mind. Therefore, self-acceptance is a value. Accepting oneself. Accepting myself as I am. I think this volume is still low. Can you raise the volume there, please? Maybe you need to perhaps change the angle of that thing somewhat. I don't know. It is loud.
It's already loud.
Yeah. Then maybe this has to be made louder. You know. Okay.
Better sound.
Yes. Sounds good. So self-acceptance, accepting gracefully one's limitations. I have a problem with myself whenever I am not able to accept my limitations. Because I often compare myself with others. And in that comparison I always brand myself as inadequate, insufficient, not good enough. And therefore I feel dissatisfied or frustrated with my own self, which is the most disturbing thing. Therefore, I should know that I do not have to become somebody else. What they are is good, God bless them. At the same time, I am my own person. I certainly have the responsibility of improving. They make that commitment. But just because I am not like somebody, just because I am not approved by somebody, it does not mean I have to disapprove of myself. Whoever is born limited. Even the person who I am trying to compare myself with will compare himself or with somebody else. So nobody ever feels adequate about themselves. Because if I expect myself to be perfect in every way, it's never going to happen. I have a commitment to improve myself as much as I can, but that does not mean that I have to look down upon myself. have to reject myself. And the self-acceptance, that doesn't mean that I have to be endlessly proud of myself either. But then I should respect myself as I am. I should respect myself with my limitations. With a commitment to try to overcome the limitations if I feel it necessary. I made an effort, effort did not succeed, it is failure. That doesn't mean I am a failure, effort has failed. This failure management is a very important thing. When Lord Krishna says that, do not have attachment with the outcome of the action. It means that do not judge yourself by the outcome of an action. You perform an action, make an effort, and that brings about a certain outcome. Outcome may be branded as success or failure. That outcome is success or failure. You are not success or failure, understand? We judge ourselves, superimpose the outcome upon ourselves and call ourselves author of the outcome. Lord Krishna says, Ma karma phala hetur bhuvu. Do not become the author of the outcome. You are the author of the action. And Lord Krishna says, I am the author of the outcome. So the effort has failed. See what we can do next time. Learn from that and proceed further. But then branding myself as a failure is a wrong thing. Once I brand myself failure, I have an inferiority complex. I become very diffident. I lose the self-confidence. And this is very disturbing. Therefore, self-acceptance. So these are basic values by which I can bring about, I can make my mind free from those negative tendencies. And that's how I show myself the tranquility of the mind, cheerfulness of the mind. Mana prasada. Next thing Lord Krishna says, saumyatvam, gentleness, kindliness. Saumyatvam means gentleness or kindliness. Deliberately maintaining the attitude of kindness in the mind. In Sanskrit there is a prayer, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhag Bhave, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, may all be happy. So, this is the sarva loka hitaishitvam, a genuine attitude on my part of wishing well for all, everybody. Not easy. Because everybody also includes my enemy and people whom I hate. And it's difficult to wish well of them. But saumyatvam, kindliness, may I be kind to everybody. This is a value. May I wish well of a sarve bhavant, may everybody be happy. Sarve santu niramaya, may all be healthy. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu, may all see auspiciousness. Ma kaschit dukkha bhag bhavet, may nobody suffer from pain. To the extent that we can maintain this attitude of mind, there is kindliness, that is called saumyatvam. Mana prasada, the tranquility of the mind, saumyatvam, the kindliness of the mind. Maunam, silence. Silence really is the attribute of speech. Silence applies at the level of speech. And Lord Krishna says silence at the level of mind. But silence at the level of speech can be there only when there is silence in the mind. Because before we utter the words, they are in the form of thoughts. And therefore, in order to maintain silence at the level of speech, there should be also silence in the mind. Mind wants to say something. Stop it. Calm down. So mind is a desire. I want to say this. Say this. Calm down. So calming down the mind. Mauna. Atma vinigraha control over the mind, bhava samshuddhi, another important thing, the purity of motive. Bhava means motive, the purity of motive. We should have honest motive, meaning what is in the mind, so there should be alignment between the thought and the word and the deed. What I do should be in keeping with what I say, and what I say should be in keeping with what I think. So whenever I interact with anybody, with the world, there should be the purity of the motive. My motive should be good. It's not outwardly I smile, inwardly I am planning to hurt that person. Something outwardly and something inwardly. In Hindi they say, Mukh mein Ram, Bagal mein Churi. Have you heard this? He says, Ram, Ram, Ram. When in the words, inside is hiding a weapon and looking for an opportunity. Meaning that inside I have bad motive, outwardly I smile and. So this is hypocrisy. So, purity of motive, honesty of the motive. All of these things are difficult, but these are the values, the extent to which we can put them into practice, to that extent we bring about purity of mind. In fact, by these we are only helping ourselves, not others. Tapo maya samuchare, that is called the tapas. Basically, graceful acceptance. We accept one value, prasada buddhi, graceful acceptance. Graceful acceptance of the people, graceful acceptance of the events, graceful acceptance of the past, of the present, of the future. Accept gracefully the past. Including people who also were in my past, accept them gracefully. Even though they may not have been kind to me, accept them gracefully. Accept those who are in your life in the present. Accept what will come in the future. This acceptance of what is a very important value. That also brings about the peace of mind. This is the, and this has to be done constantly. Constant observing the mind, understanding what the thoughts or motives are, and then constantly correction, never, the course correction should go on constantly, and that is how we can bring about the purity of the mind. So this is the threefold tapas or austerity, austerity level of action at the level of body, austerity the level of speech, austerity at the level of mind. All of this should be done honestly. Shraddhaya paryataptam. Then all of these things I do not to make a show. I serve the teacher, I serve the elders, it can be done again with pure motive. I can do it as a show to gain recognition from other people, etc. That should not be the motive behind the tapas. Then, so Lord Krishna says, Aharaha, Yajnaha, Tapaha, Dhanam. The four things that Lord Krishna classifies as Dhanam or charity. So let's go to verse number 10. Dātavyamiti yad dhanam. Niyate rupakarine, deshe kale cha patre cha, taddhanam sattvikam smritam. Taddhanam sattvikam smritam. Dhanam is charity or gift. That charity or that gift is called sattvika. What is sattvika? Arising from a mind which enjoys sattva. So when my mind enjoys sattva, then my charity will be like this. Or, whenever I am about to do charity, I should make sure that these values are followed, then that charity will become sattvic and that will contribute to the sattvicness of my mind. Remember that we are here talking about the threefold Shraddha, threefold convictions, attitudes, values, priorities. And when we pay attention to what actions that you are performing, what austerities you are performing, what charity we are doing, when we have the right attitude, that is conducive to bring about the sattvicness or purity of the mind. So what is ideal charity? Lord Krishna says, Dātavyam. What is Dātavyam? Dātavyam means, in my mind, this kind of motivation arises that I should give. My mind says, I should give. When would a person want to give? When a person feels inner richness and recognizes that here is someone who is more needy than I am, and therefore I should share what I have with those who are more needy than I am. I feel that by the grace of Ishvara, I have more than what I need, and that is purely grace. I'm a fortunate person. But then everybody is not fortunate as I am. There are many people who do not enjoy as much fortune as I do. And therefore, they do not have what I have. They are deprived of what I have. They are deprived of what they need also, and they are needy people. What would be the reason? Everybody is different because of the karma. I am what I am because of karma, or grace of Ishvara because of my karma, others are what they are. But in my mind there should be this inspiration, this motivation that I should share. Because I have plenty, that others who are needy, and therefore it is my duty, it is my privilege to share with others. It's called dana. This dhanam, or gift or charity, gift is when I transfer the ownership. What right now belongs to me, when I hand over, give to somebody, then I am in fact transferring ownership. Now this belongs to the other person. That is called giving charity. It is not a loan. It is not some kind of business deal, because that is not happening. In charity, what is mine becomes that person's. And the act of charity becomes complete when that person acknowledges also that, yes, I accept it. Then that's called act of charity. And that should arise from me. Because I realize that everywhere charity is going on in the whole universe. The whole universe enjoys a rhythm or the rhythm of charity everywhere. You call it paropakara, helping others or helping those who are needy. So we find that the trees are charitable in as much as they give their fruits with no expectation. Rivers are charitable and they give water without expectation. Sun is charitable because it gives light without any expectation. And thus every element in nature is giving, giving and giving. That is the nature. That is the rhythm that is set into motion by the Creator. The reason why the universe is functioning in harmony is because every element in the universe always gives. It sustains, gives to others. No doubt, Every element also is the recipient. What others give, and that also gives in turn. If I recognize how fortunate I am that I have been given so much, our Pujya Swami used to say, this body is given. I have not created the body, it is given to me as a gift by the Creator, by Ishvara. I enjoy five organs of perception, the faculty of seeing, faculty of hearing, touch, taste, smell, all of this is given. I enjoy five organs of action, which I perform various actions, given. I enjoy mind with which I feel, given. I enjoy intellect with which I think and know, given. Whatever faculties I have, all of these are given to me. I have not created any of those things. This is not so. Swamiji, I am very hard working, I achieved this, but even the capacity to work hard also is given. But I, Swamiji, by my own willpower, even the willpower also is given. Swami, I am a self-made man. Swami says, but who made you? So coming to think of it, we find that we have all the reason to feel a sense of gratitude rather than a sense of ownership or pride. If I feel proud because of my looks, because of my intelligence, because of my strength, because of some special things that I possess, that is only arrogance, because pride has no place in life at all. Because whatever I have, or whatever I have achieved, is all due to grace. Same situation. Somebody who was in the same situation was not as fortunate as me. We went for an interview. I happened to be first there. That fellow was second. I got the job. And even though he had the same wife, he didn't get it. I happened to be at the right place at the right time. Now that also is nothing but a gift. So if I look at all the achievements in my life, I'll find that a lot of things have been made convenient to me, they have been facilitated for me. I am very fortunate or lucky that I am constantly enjoying the grace. This is a way of looking at the life. This is what it is. Either you can say, I have done everything, or you can say equally, I have been given everything. It's not the pride, but the sense of gratitude. When I recognize my place in the scheme of things, then I realize how I am a recipient of the favor that I receive from the rest of the universe. Then there is a sense of gratitude that immediately arises in me, a desire to return the favor. That if all of this is done to me, it is my duty, only proper for me, that I should return that favor. I should also give. Dātavyam. And from this arises in my heart, this desire, I should give. It's an assimilated value. This giving becomes an assimilated value when I realize that I am the recipient of what is all given by the rest of the universe. And therefore, it is my privilege to give. More than even responsibility, even responsibility, privilege to give. Dātavyam iti yad dānam dīyate. So when something is given with this sense of gratitude, a sense arising from recognition of grace that I am enjoying, a sense arising from privileges that I am enjoying, that will be very genuine dana, very genuine gift. Because then, there is no expectation of return of the favor. I realize that favor is already done to me. Whatever I am is due to the favor done to me, and what I have achieved also is due to favor done to me, and therefore, I'm already indebted. And therefore, I do return the debt. Runam. So with that spirit, what is given, there is no expectation of return in favor. So very often we give, all right. People come seeking donation from us. So when they are publishing their annual souvenirs and they need advertisements and they come to me seeking donation for advertisement, I give them. Next day I go to them for my souvenir. That becomes a deal. It's not charity, everybody is dealing. Think that whenever I have in my mind an expectation of return in favor, that this person will return the favor in some situation, then I'm giving it an agenda, with a personal agenda. What is given without a personal agenda? And given to a person who cannot even return the favor, or given with the attitude that I am not seeking any return in the favor. Also should be given them with respect. When I give to somebody, I should give them with respect. Whatever that person is, he may be a beggar, he may be anybody. Not that I look upon myself as in high position and I'm obliging somebody and there. No. In fact, when I'm giving, I should feel privileged that I'm able to give because this person is ready to receive from me. So one, the giver always has an upper hand and one who receives has a lower hand. Unless the person lowers the hand, I cannot have upper hand. And that person has given me, in fact, an opportunity to give. And therefore, I'm also obliged to that person that is accepted the position of a receiver. So with that kind of a sense, feeling I give, that it is my pleasure, it's my privilege, it's an opportunity for me to contribute. Dātavyam riyadhanam diyate anupakārene. Upakāra means return of favor. Anupakārene, one who will never return the favor, or when I give without any kind of a calculation of return of the favor. Just giving, not expecting anything in return. Deshe, kāle, cha, pātre, cha. The Lord Krishna further adds that you should give at the right place, at the right time, to the right person. Now, there are lots of things said about dana or charity. So many texts, so many things about charity. We even have a book called Dana, you know, in which we have said a lot of things. But here it may suffice to say that when you give to somebody, it's always a good idea to investigate someone as to who is this receiver, whether he deserves to receive or not, or is he going to waste what you are giving or misuse what you are giving. It's likely that when you give something to somebody, that person will use it for buying drugs. I don't know, he may do something, harm to somebody. It's likely that what you give may be misused. You should try to make sure if you can. Give to the person who is needy. Give that which will fulfill the need. In the cold, you start distributing buttermilk, there is no point at all. And therefore, what is needed at what time? At a given time, at a given place, to a given person. And therefore, he is not given thoughtlessly. What Lord Krishna means that charity they give should not be given thoughtlessly, thoughtfully, wisely it should be given. And should be given also according to your capacity. You have $1,000 in your pocket and you give 50 cents or something, that's not right. According to your capacity. Is $1,000? Giving $100 at least is alright. In fact, our Swami used to say, you should keep giving until it starts pinching you. Pinching you. I'm giving too much. Okay, up to that point you should give. Shraddhaya adayam, ashraddhaya adayam, shriya adayam. Shriya means according to your capacity. Then a person who has one piece of roti, gives half a roti, that's a great dana. So $100 and 50 cents, that fellow is much, much better than we are. Because he gives a great share from what he has. At the right time, at the right place, when the person needs at that time. Not that need is gone and then you start giving. That's not right. To the right person is a needy person, not a person who doesn't need, who doesn't have value. Don't give it to them. Shriyadayam, Bhiyadayam, Hriyadayam, Sambhidadayam. Give it friendliness. Give it respect. Because giving respect is the greatest dharma, by the way. Giving respect to somebody is a great dharma. Always give with respect, not with disrespect. So, deshe kale japatri se tad dhanam sattvikam sutam. Dhanam, a charity or gift of this nature is called sattvikam dhanam. It's one of the great values. Every culture prescribes dhanam or charity. There are many who say that you must give 10% of your income, you know, in charity, etc., etc. But different texts say different things. And there are... But one thing everybody says that there should be charity. Yajna, dana, tapaha. Yajna, the worship must be there, prayer must be there, the austerity must be there, and charity must be there. Having said this, now Lord Krishna says a very interesting thing. In the next verse, a question is asked that when you perform these actions of yajna, meaning performing a religious ritual, tapa, performing austerities, dhanam, making charity, as stipulated in the scriptures, you try to do this according to rules, it's always likely that there are omissions and commissions. There's always a likelihood that our action may not be perfect, that we may omit to do something that we should have done, or committed something that we should not have done. The faults of omission and commission are likely to be there because every human being is limited. Also, while we are performing a certain action, the yajna, etc., we may not necessarily be alert at all the time. Inadvertently, also mistakes may be committed. And therefore, in spite of your best intention, it is quite likely that any of these things may have a defect. Even though you intend to perform yajna, sattvic yajna, without expectation of a reward, charity in this manner that we just talked about, austerity also, even though you do what the sattvic way, and still there is always a possibility that there is some flaw in your action, then what should you do? Then Lord Krishna prescribed a prayaschitta, or act of atonement, which will neutralize that defect. So you expect that you cannot be perfect in what you do, and it is quite likely that when we fail to perform or take all the stipulations, then we may not get the required result. Then how do you make up for that deficiency? By an act of atonement, but prayaschitta. The next verse, Lord Krishna prescribed a prayaschitta. What you should do in order to make up for any kind of a deficiency in your performance of yajna dana tapaha. So, next verse, Lord Krishna says, Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdeshaha. Brahmanastri vidasmrutah, Brahmanastena vedascha, Yajnascha vitah pura. Lord Krishna says, Om Tat Sat iti Brahmana nirdetrivitah nirdesha smrutah. Nirdeshyate iti nirdesha, that which is indicated, which is designated. These are the designation or name of Brahman, name of God. So Lord Krishna is uttering the name of God, the name of Brahman, name of Ishvara, will make up for any unknown or unintended deficiency. We do not intentionally do something wrong while performing an action, but always likely that there may be some omissions and commissions inadvertently. In that case, uttering name of Ishvara. What's the name? Om Tat Sat is the threefold name of Ishvara. Sometimes you can look upon as one name, Om Tat Sat, all three is Om Tat Sat. But Om Tat Sat is what Lord Krishna said you should utter. Then it will make up for any kind of deficiency in a puja, in your charity, in your austerity. So you have taken a vow to do certain things, which you do them, and still some kind of deficiency may remain unknown to you, or sometimes even known to you. To make up for that, utter Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat. So these Om Tat Sat, Om Tat and Sat are the very sacred names of the Lord. Brahmana, Trivida, Smrita. This is the threefold nirdesha, the designation of Brahman or Ishvara. And Lord Krishna says, why they are so sacred? Because the creator is called Brahma. Brahma is the creator. Now, creating a universe is an extremely important auspicious task. Creation is an auspicious task. And what we talk of creation of the universe is the most auspicious task. And Brahma, in fact, the creator, when he started creating the universe, he had Om Tat Sat. Having uttered that, he created the world. What did he create? Brahmanas, Tena Vedas, Yajnas, Vetapura. Brahma, the creator, created Brahmanas, created Vedas, created Yajnas. These are the most sacred things in the, you know, in the creation. Brahmanas stand for all the castes, of course, the three castes, you know. But Brahmanas are the Brahmanas stand for performance of action or performance of rituals are Brahmanas. Veda scriptures of Pravana, so they tell us the means of performing ritual. So they are the basis of performing a rituals, Vedas. From you learn how to what rituals to perform and how to perform them. And yajna, the rituals that are performed. So three things are required. Whenever you perform an action, you should know how to perform the action. How do you know? From the authentic sources of how to do that. These days you go to Google or some place like that, and then even people go to Google for cooking anything. How to make a tea? Go to Google. Amazing. Google has become the greatest guru now, and that is GPS, Google positioning system. But formally, what we call the scriptures, called Vedas, which had everything that we needed to know. And there were people lived their life as enjoined or as ordained or as prescribed by Vedas. So you need Vedas as a pramanam, as a means of knowledge, as a source book for what you need to do. And you should have a person to perform those activities. Brahmanas stand for those are performers of those rituals. Yajnas are the religious rituals. So, and this includes the whole universe. So when Brahmaji, the creator, created the universe consisting of the Brahmanas, Vedas and Yajnas, how did he do it? Om Tat Sat created Brahmanas. Om Tat Sat created Vedas. Om Tat Sat created Yajnas. Om Tat Sat created the rest of the universe. Because even Brahma also does something. Even the Brahma is all-knowing still, even Brahma also feels internally, there is likelihood that some kind of omission, commission may be done. Some deficiency may remain in my act of creation also. And therefore, even Brahma also, to make up for any possible deficiency in this act of creation, uttered this word, Om Tat Sat. So imagine, when Om Tat Sat, this names, these words, have the capacity to neutralize any kind of deficiency of Brahma, then what to talk of the deficiency that we may have. So those of you who perform the pujas may be familiar with these verses. Yascha smritya cha namoktya tapah puja kriyadishu nyunam sampurnatam yati sadyo vandetam achyutam. Doesn't look very familiar, but anyway, so those who perform puja, at the end they see these things. Avahanam na janami, na janami, visarjanam, puja vidim na janami, aparada sahasrani, kriyante harnishammaya, taso vidima matya, kshamastva parameshwara, anyatha sharanam nasti, tvameva sharanam mama, tasmat karvanya bhavane, raksha raksha maheshwara. Yascha smritya cha namoktya tapah puja kriyadishu nyunam sampurnatam yati sadyo vande tam achyuta. I salute that, I prostrate to the Achyuta, the Lord Narayana. Yascha smritya, by remembering whom? Yascha smritya cha namoktya, by uttering whose name? By remembering him, by uttering whose name? Tapah puja kriyadishu, in tapas, in puja, in any kind of kriya, nyunam sampurnatam yati. Nyunam means whatever may be missing or defective or lacking, all of that is made up by utterance of whose name? Sadyo vandeyatam achyutam. I salute that achyuta. Prayaschittani sheshani tapah karmatmakani vai yani tesham asheshanam Shri Krishna anusmaran. You observe the priest performing the rituals of performing the homas. Vishnu, 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 Krishna, 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 a dancer. Parayaschittani, asheshani, tapah puja. When you perform tapah, puja, kriya. Yani tesham, of all of them, Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna, Shri Krishna, all the prayaschitta is done. What I am saying is that this is the power that there is in the name of the Lord. These days we repeat Vishnu, 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 Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Those is Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat, Om Tat Sat. Very sacred symbols, very sacred sounds, very sacred names of the Lord. Meaning that they have a certain effect, a certain power to neutralize any kind of deficiency which may be there in the acts performed by us. Therefore, here Lord Krishna prescribes this threefold name of the Lord, Om Tat Sat. And therefore, the next verse is, Tasmado Mityuda Hritya Yajna dana tapah kriya pravartante vidhanottaha satatam brahma vadina. Translation: therefore, for those who are well read in the Vedas, the activity in the form of sacrifice called yajna, charity is dhanam, austerity tapaha, all these actions are performed with the command, with the utterance of Om, Om, Om. Actually, Om Tat Sat. But here in these verses, Lord Krishna sings the glory of Om Tat Sat by saying, you need not even say all the three, you just say one of them. Om, in that itself is enough. So what is all you utter Om Tat Sat? That would be amazing, wonderful. Tasmat Omiduda, therefore, uttering Om, those people who are well versed in the Veda or the scriptures, they utter Om by before beginning any yajna, dana, tapah, kriya. Next verse is, similarly they uttered tat also, and they uttered sat. So, the next verse 13, so explain the meaning of sat. Whom we all know very well, made up of yakara, ukara, mukara, etc., and is the most sacred symbol of the Lord, whom is very famous. A lot is said about Om in Vedas, in the whole Upanishad called Mandukya Upanishad, that in fact dedicated itself to enfoldment of the meaning about Om. Om iti Brahma, Om iti etam sarvam, Om iti etam sarvam. Om iti Brahma, Om iti etam sarvam. And Upanishad describes how, while performing ritual like yajna, at every stage, Om. So may I make the oblation? Om. Om. May you utter these mantras for the devatas and invoke them. That's what he says. Om, I'm invoking them. Om, perform the Agnihotra Karma. Om, I'm performing that. So, Anukruti, meaning when someone says, please do this, Om. Please chant, Om. Please offer, Om. So thus, when yajna is performed, his Om is uttered at every stage. Is he very sacred sound symbol. Similarly sat also. And in that verse, Lord Krishna explains the meaning of the word sat. Sat means to be your existence. That is also the name of the Lord. Tattvamasi. You know, for example, there is a famous Mahavakya statement, Tattvamasi, that Tat is the name of Brahma. That Tat stands for Brahma there. And then Sadeva Somi Yadamagrasi, Sat stands for Brahma there. Taditiva Etasya Mahato Bhutasya Nama Bhavati. This verse says, Tat is the name of this great Lord who is Brahman or Ishvara. So these three words are very famous in these scriptures. So what is the meaning of Sat? Lord Krishna says in the next verse, 13th verse. Sadbhave sadubhave cha.
Sadbhave sadubhave cha.
Sadithye tat prayujyate.
Sadithye tat
prayujyate. Prashaste karmani tatha.
Prashaste
karmani tatha. Sat partha yujyate. He Parthi Arjuna, Sat Shabda Yujyate, the word Sat is employed, used in all these different sense. Sat Bhave. When something comes into existence, you use the word Sat. For example, a child is born. You say, child that did not exist up to this point is born, it's called Sat. Coming into being. Sat means coming into being. Sat Bhave, Sadhu Bhave, say. A person gets transformed into a good person. You call him sadhu. Sat purusha. Sat purusha means a good person. Sat purusha. Sat sangha means the company of the good. So, word sat is used in sense of sadhu bhava, sense of good or goodness. Prashaste karmani tatha. For an auspicious action, we call it sat karma. Like Upanayana, Sat Karma, Vivaha, Sat Karma, auspicious karma. So Sat is an auspiciousness when a good action is performed. Sat is when a good and auspicious thing happens, like the birth of a child. Or Sat is when it used for a good person, sadhu, why Sat Purusha. Sat is a sense of goodness, auspiciousness. Also, abhayans in yajna, tapasnana also is called sat. And anything that you do for those also is called sat. So thus, the word sat also is a very sacred word. It is the name of Ishvara. And then Lord Krishna says, what is asat? Having said sat, he also says, what is asat? So let us read the last verse. Remember that this is a chapter called Shraddha, where the threefold Shraddha is described. So asat. So in the last verse 14, on the page 16 it says,
Ashraddhaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kritam chayata asadityuchyate partha nachatat pretyano iha.
So remember that in this chapter Lord Krishna described yajna, dana, tapaha. As far as ahara or food is concerned, it is something which is a very evident act, and therefore there is no question of making any mistake there. But in yajna, dana, when you perform all these religious things, you perform a yajna, give charity, perform penance or austerity. Ashraddhaya, if that is done without shraddha, sometimes people just do it because they are made to do it. They do it unwillingly. They do it because they have to make a show. The various motivations because of which people do things where they do not mean what they do. You go to a temple and bow down, etc. But you have no trust, you know. You have no shraddha about God or anything. Because your mother says down, so you do that. Or because what will people say, that why you do that? There are some champions who say that, well, I bring my parents to a temple, I don't go into temple. He prides himself, I don't go to temple. But I don't believe in God. So lack of shraddha, ashraddha, you will perform a homa or yajna, hutam, what is offered is ahuti, dattam, what is given in charity, tapastattam, what is done as austerity, if any of these things that are without shraddha, you don't believe in Ishvara. You don't believe in the austerity, or don't believe in the auspiciousness of the actions. You don't believe in that. You don't believe in this yajna. Vedas? Who believes in Vedas? When I don't have belief in Veda, I have no belief in scriptures, I have no belief in Ishvara, no shraddha. Whatever I do is done without shraddha. Ashraddhaya utam. So even if you perform a yajna, you give charity, you perform penance, there is no shraddha behind that, it is as good as not done. Asat ityukchate partha. Lord is what? Asat. Yeah, asat doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You are doing it. Shruga asat is as good as not there. When something is done without shraddha, it is as good as not done. It will not yield any result here or hereafter. So while talking about asat, Lord Krishna also talks of asat, because when there is absence of shraddha, what is done becomes asat as well as not there. And with that, Lord Krishna completes his 17th chapter. We will also conclude our talk here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru.